The episode you're about to listen to is from an unreleased episode of an earlier incarnation of the Away Team. These were Adam and I's first impressions of Star Trek Discovery back in 2017. There may be issues with events and future events within the show, but this hasn't been heard since it was deleted from the internet back in 2018. Sit back and enjoy.
Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
My name is Catherine Janeway.
Prune juice, chilled.
Welcome to The Away Team, a Star Trek podcast. A podcast that is designed to comment and critique each episode of Star Trek in canonical order, with a bit of a twist. Hey there, Away Team fans. Stephen Vargas here, taking a little break. As I said, I would pop in whenever I needed to. So this is me popping in because I need to. So this is actually the mid-season finale for Discovery in season one. Just before the holidays, it did the winter finale, and it took a couple of weeks off. And then in the new year, they brought back the final five, six episodes of season one. And I figured that this was probably a good point for me to do that as well. I've been working hard to get the episodes for this show cleaned up, edited, and brought out to you guys. I'm taking a little bit of break myself because I also do work on my other shows, The Lazy Geeks and The Pushpin Theorist. And all the shows are going to experience a small break. Pushpin Theorist, maybe not so much because it's a little newer. But we will be back in early January of 2024 with the remaining episodes of season one. And that will take us straight into season two of Discovery, which in my opinion is a whole lot better than season one. Even though after rewatching season one, wasn't as bad as I initially remember. I think it's one of those that because now I'm four seasons in, I'm a little more devoted. So I'm a little more like, okay, you know, I enjoy it now. So this will be it for 2023. Thank you for joining us on our journey this far and our return and our break and all that stuff. And we will see you on the other side. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Captain, we are being hailed.
This is Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise.
But what could it be? Unknown, sir. Perhaps it is scanning.
Welcome, everybody, to Star Trek Discovery Recap and Away Team Minisode. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
All right. So why am I excited today? We have reached the winter finale of Star Trek Discovery. Into the Forest I Go. Okay, we're good title. Better than the last week's episode, that, you know, whole Latin thing.
It was clever.
That was the only thing clever about the whole episode was
last episode was a straight, like, we called it a filler episode, but it wasn't. It was a lead up episode. Yeah, because that entire episode's purpose was to lead up to this one.
Right. And then and then what happened in this episode had nothing to do with anything from that.
Right.
We didn't see those aliens again. We didn't
this
see
this episode could not stand without that one happening first. All it did was set up why they were there and why the Klingons were coming.
Right. And no mention about all Saru and Ash.
He made one mention of it. He was like, maybe I can talk to the Admiral because explain. Shut the fuck up, Saru.
Lorca looked at him and go, man, shut the fuck. If I would have wanted your opinion, I would have burped.
Right. You know? If I would have wanted your opinion. No, you know what? I'd never want your fucking opinion. Shut the fuck up.
So, yeah. So this is the winter finale. Sets us up for whatever we come back to in January. So yeah, this was the final showdown between what was it? The death ship? Is that what they called it?
The sarcophagus.
Yeah, the sarcophagus ship. And Discovery, which turned out to not really be so much of a showdown between the sarcophagus and Discovery.
Look, Steve and I are on a different opinion. I enjoyed it. Steve says that there wasn't that much action. Like, he expected more action. I feel it was a good amount of action because it was a cerebral thing going on. You know, like, they were doing these multiple jumps thing.
No, and that I thought was cool.
You're worried about the science dude and how the doctor's doing it, and then they're also doing this and that, and the fucking dudes are on the ship. There was a lot going on.
Well, no, because the thing is that the way they kind of set it up was a setup as this major showdown between. So you kind of figure, okay, probably maybe some type of major space battle or something like that, you know, which they've had in lesser episodes. And it was.
But see, I never expected a major space battle because those two ships can't go toe to toe because Discovery will die.
Well, I mean, it just reminded me of Up the Long Ladder when that trailer was just basically, you know, the Enterprise needs to help these people of clones, which was like the second half of that episode. You know, we forgot about the whole Irish thing. But
50% of what Steve is saying is true. The other 50% is straight haterade that he's sipping on right now. God. Like, just always trying to find something wrong. And that's that California. Everyone thinks that people in California are fun-loving. No, they are cynical as fuck. They just do it. It's just bright and sunny outside while they're doing it.
Exactly. We're New Yorkers, but with a bit warmer climate.
Right. That's all it is.
Yeah, that's really all it is.
No, I agree with a lot of what you said. Like, especially with the end was soft. I mean, it could have been a lot more enticing.
Yeah, I think if some of that stuff had kind of played earlier in the episode, and then they just ended it with more of the, you know, the combat scene. I mean, it was a personal validation for Michael, because going on there, getting her captain killed on that ship, and then coming back and basically being part of the team that destroys that ship, you know, really kind of brought her whole mission full circle.
She was thug life show.
Oh yeah,
like,
I mean,
straight up thug life this entire episode.
And that was the thing. Like, there's a lot of things in this episode that I did like. I liked basically Captain Lorca just put himself in the pantheon of true Starfleet officers. Disobey orders that they don't agree with. Because it's right. Like, you're gonna jump to Starbase 43. And it's like, all right, warp 5. Yeah, so that gives us 3 hours to figure out a way to go and help these people, you know? And it was cool because it's funny because the way they set up Lorca in the earlier episode when, you know, with where he sent the Admiral out and kind of that whole, you know, thing where he sleeps with a phaser and, you know, and has a phaser in his back pocket. You're still not quite sure if he's doing some things out of... like being a true captain, like, you know, like, I really do appreciate this, or this, you know, this is what, or is if it's just still kind of calculated. There's still a little ambiguity. He's not black and white. He's very much gray. And I think a lot of the things that he does has been genuine, but I think there's some kind of motives. Like the look that he got when they found that the Admiral was still alive. It was kind of like that, fuck, now I got to dump her out of space lock. You know, it's like, you know, that should be interesting, but now they're going to be there, whatever, wherever they are, you know, it will change that story a little bit.
Right.
But again, the relationship with Paul and Hugh, really solid. I think it really kind of, it really kind of pulled them even closer, and just you buy them as a couple.
Yeah. I mean, they're very cute together. Like, let's be honest. You know.
if you're gonna have a gay couple in there, it's best that they're cute, you know?
No, not cute physically. Like there was that moment where he's about to do the 180 1,000 jumps.
I know, shit.
And he just walks in and just straight kisses him. And I'm like, you know what? That's nice. I act hard and shit, but I like seeing a little bit of love. You know what I mean? That's nice.
Because you would expect that.
Right. I don't give a shit if they both got dicks. What the fuck? Who cares?
I mean, it would be different if he went down and just started blowing him right there.
Well, I don't want to see that.
But yeah. Do you?
Oh, maybe. No. It was like when I was on the tram today and there were these two college kids, probably 19, 20, and they're chatting it up. It's a girl and a guy. And you can tell that the chick is likes him, is interested, and he's fucking head over heels for this chick. He would have shot everyone in that train if she would have asked. He's every word hanging on it, very right. Respectful conversation. And I'm like, look at the two educated people, coming together. It's nice. You never know. They could get married. They could have kids, whatever. Then this one asshole ruins
sleep.
You never know. This one asshole ruins it by going, get a room. I'm like, dude, stop it. Why are you so jealous?
Never heard from again.
I just snuff him out. You leave love alone, you fucking animal.
your arms around his neck and your mouth is to his ear and just don't fight it. Don't fight it. And then you hear that little...
Now it gets warm, then it gets very cold.
Then you just lean his head gently against the window, make it like he's asleep.
Right. And then continue. Now, I mean, the world isn't all rainbows and sunshine. Because the only reason I noticed them is that chick had booty dough. I was like, oh, shit. No,
well,
but
it's funny because I saw this. I saw the trailer for this movie. It's like called Game Night. It's with Jason Bateman and Amy Adams.
Oh.
And they're supposed to be in what's supposed to be like a scavenger hunt mystery kind of thing. But of course, it's one of those that turns real. So, Amy Adams is holding a gun and she's against this guy. She's like, don't do anything. She goes, I'm a mom. And he goes, bullshit. She's like, what do you mean? He goes, not with an ass like that. And she's like, oh, well,
hey,
And I was like, respect.
Let her know. What I mean? At that point, it's just a compliment.
Right.
What I mean?
That's just common courtesy,
I told my friend that I have a good friend at work who happens to be an attractive female because look, if you're not going to date him, at least keep him around. It makes life a little bit better. You know what I mean? No, I'm just kidding. But she drops her keys because she's always dropping shit. Mm-hmm. And she goes,
because she can bend over and get them.
No. So she has a nice ass. She's attractive. She does the whole fucking squat thing to pick mm-hmm. things up. So she did that. And I go, there were three dudes behind us and they audibly were upset because when you dropped your keys, I could hear everyone stop breathing. And then you did that fucking, and it wasn't even the kind of cute drop it and then pick it up. It was just real sloppy half ass. I'm like, don't do that to these men. Come on.
What are you doing? Squats? Or are you picking up your keys?
Yeah, give them a little something. Jesus, we all got to work. It's like, come on. And she's like, I do not exist for everyone's pleasure. And I'm like, oh, honey, you do.
Yeah, right.
And she's like, fuck you, Adam. No, but seriously, she does. So anyway.
But in this episode, it's basically because the discovery is told by that Vulcan Admiral, man. He just does not like Lorca. Just basically that. Discovery can't, the sarcophagus ship is approaching. They can't hang. They're going to have to let them destroy the planet, and Discovery needs to jet. So they basically figure out that the only way they can beat him is if they can figure out the cloaking option. And they figured that, they have to do, it was 170 jumps for the calculations to work, they had to do 170 jumps. So they can do the calculations to figure out what the frequency for the cloaking device was.
Right.
So Stamets, who's been having issues earlier, agreed to do it because, you know, it was to save the planet. He was, you know, and, you know, all their lives and bring the crew home. So, you know, he agrees to do it. So the other thing is that they need to destroy the ship. So they're going to blow it up from the inside and or link it with the inside so they can get a lock on it and destroy the ship. So Ash and Michael go over. And it was kind of cool because, like, they go over there and they're like, you know, it was funny when she held up her, like, tricorder and you see, like, the map. I was expecting to see Powered by Waze on the side of it or something like that, or Powered by Google Maps, you know? Right.
Or you never
and then
know.
An ad,
you
and then never an know. Amazon Apple, ad underneath Apple
it. It could be Apple Map.
Then you see a little, like, Amazon advertisement at the bottom, you know, because they didn't pay for the full app, you know?
Right.
We got the ad-sponsored app. So
no, you know. I would love to see it says Apple Maps, but at the bottom in small print it says beta, motherfucker. I'm like, they Stanley got that shit out of beta.
You know what would have been? No, it would have been awesome. It's like, yeah, it's over. Ugh. And you look and they have to, like, wait 5 seconds for the ad, you know?
Right.
You get the little ad before you get in there, and then you finally get to the map.
You didn't pay for the premium? Hey, motherfucker, we struggling out here. I ain't got time for this. There's a war on.
I know, right? Who's got money during a war? But then we find out what happens, that the Admiral is still alive, even though she'd just been lying there unconscious for God knows how long. And that Klingon chick was... in there as well with all her dead friends. And the cool thing that they did was the whole, like, male rape PTSD thing with Ash, which was actually kind of cool because that thing paralyzed him.
It was, the flashbacks were a mixture of torture and rape, and it, to the point that some people would be into it. I'm just saying, like, you don't have to admit who you are, but you know you're out there.
They're kind of like, wait, can we play that black? But slower, you know, like right. Only one time, you know, fast forward.
Zip.
So, you know, everything goes according to plan until the ship decide, the Klingons realize that it's a trap or it's a trick. And then they were going to warp out of there. So fucking Michael steps up using the universal translator, starts talking to, I always forget that Klingon dude's name, but what was actually kind of cool is they spoke fucking English finally.
Yeah, but they had to set it up, right? Because she had a universal translator.
Like, we fucking need that. Like, you know, it's like, come on, just, we know.
But then they did set up something interesting, though. The Klingons didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
So I guess they did invent that technology because he was like, you speak Klingon, show yourself. And then she's like, no, I have a universal translator.
Yeah,
you know, right. And yeah, she's like many of the fucking human innovations. I'm like, bitch, you know, you got that from the Vulcans. Quit tripping.
You're picking up the universal translator, then you see, you know, a fucking Word with Friends advertisement on the bottom. It's all ad sponsored, like nothing. It's like the premium shit.
All of a sudden, her uniform has a Mountain Dew logo on it. Like, what the fuck?
Like, okay, now we're pushing.
And then it's like, listen, we're gonna battle to the death. But before we do that, I need to tell you how crisp and clean this Dr. Pepper is.
And it led to a cool fight scene. I like the fact that, you know, she got Giorgio's comm badge back.
That was cool. It was symbolism for her because she's, you know. She didn't want to let
last time
it.
She was there, her, you know,
right.
Giorgio was killed. So now she's back and she's going to basically.
He was a super dick about it, though. Oh, he's like, yeah. I know this means something to you. It's great to pick my teeth with. I'm like, this motherfucker, dude.
It would have been funny if she came back and go, yeah, like, I'm going to pick my teeth with your dick as I remove it from your body. But then knowing the Klingon, I'd be like, no, how exactly would you do that? Okay, that didn't go the way I was hoping to go. So they end up blowing the ship up. Spoilers.
Yeah.
We've already said this is a spoiler one.
But that's going to be interesting, though, because that's been the main aggressor whole run.
So it makes me wonder, what are the next six episodes going to be?
It actually has me excited, because now they're going to be just use normal Klingon ships.
Yeah. Because and I'm now excited they said the war isn't over yet because they gotta, you know, defeat the cloaked Klingon ships. So what's, you know, what, yeah, basically what are we, where are we going from here?
It's gonna just be normal Klingon ships. I'm down.
And then after that, the war, that whole battle sequence ended, like, and there was still like 15 minutes left of the episode. So we have a lot of the post, you know, celebration. Hey, we won, you know, Stamets, you know, needs to do one last jump, but it sounds like he's kind of leaving Starfleet so he can figure out what's happening to him with the side effects from the jumps. And then you had Ash and, you know, talking to Michael about what had happened. And then
the captain was real cool too, because he was talking to Stannis and he goes, they were going to give me a medal for what happened here, but I told them to give you the medal.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't for you. So I think I'm starting to think more that this captain is like, he's hardcore, but he's a good dude. I'm going to say good dude.
He is a good dude.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to secretly be some kind of fucking, he just makes hard choices.
Yeah.
Okay. Like any leader needs to.
Right. Yeah. And then they're going to do one last jump to go back, go to Starbase 43 or 46 or whichever 40 it was. And, something happens in the jump, and it was, they say incomplete trajectory or incomplete navigation, I think was the error that they got, you know, I think it was because they're using Windows. Cause as we saw the
stupid,
you know, it was probably error E001, you know, whatever that, you know,
it did, didn't it for a second though. It looked like the Blue Discovery, the Discovery split into two ships.
It kind of seemed that way, but yeah. I'm not exactly sure, you know, it could have been like because of that jump, you know, may have looked like that, but yeah, now we don't know where they are. But that was a bit more of like, I would have liked to like even if it was like, you know, it's just something like, I, you know, because Saru basically, you know, he's like, I don't know where we are. And then there's like debris and he's like, is that Klingon debris? And he's like, I don't know. But it wasn't recognizable debris. There was no planet in the background. It, you know, it would have been just like, I don't know. I just kind of wanted a little clue as to, you know, where they are.
I'm, you know? Maybe they're in the future.
Oh, yeah, I told Adam earlier, I go...
And maybe they were protected by the temporal wake, bro.
Yeah, the temporal wake shielded them from the changes in the timeline.
That's right.
I told Adam, I go, yeah, watch, they jump in there and you see, and it's like debris from the Enterprise D, and you see Riker's body still leaning, but floating in space. He's holding
and also wing. Still alive, motherfucker, because it's Riker.
But yeah, I mean, so
he's out there playing the saxophone and shit.
He happens to like suddenly turn towards a Discovery and just be, and then look and just think, ladies.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's pretty much the episode. I mean, there's, you know, there wasn't, for the finale, it was what, there wasn't a lot.
You know? I think, for cliffhangers, sorry for yawning, cliffhangers, like the whole them in the middle of nowhere, I'm kind of like, I'm interested, but it didn't really, there wasn't anything like that hinted towards something. So you're kind of left just like, okay, they're in the middle of nowhere. But one thing I am very interested in is to see where Stannis holds up, because he was pretty fucked up.
And did you see the trailer for the, did you see that?
Yeah.
Trailer for, yeah. So
he throws the doctor and
you know, I mean, I could have sworn I heard it's been a long road, you know,
maybe it's gonna be like
it's Enterprise.
No, I think it was an episode or a book, it might have been an episode, but it was before the Enterprise, the first Enterprise, and the ship accidentally like got shot out of the galaxy, and then it made its way back in and it went through that barrier. And people were losing their mind and shit. And that one dude got superpowers
and tried to
kill everybody.
Yeah, the first episode.
Is the first episode? Series. Oh, okay, yeah. So, yeah, maybe they go that route.
Mm.
Because, you know, He's breaking barriers, bro. Okay.
Breaking all sorts of barriers.
Yeah.
As a summation, like as a season one, how do you think, or part one of season one, or chapter one, as they call it, what do you think of these first 9 episodes?
I enjoyed them. I'm going to be real. Like, yes, it is a very different feel to it. I think once I settled in to the tone of this Star Trek, I was fine with it. I like the characters. I'm much more invested in them now than I was the first couple of episodes. I like the captain. I think he's one of my favorites. The captain's cool. Mm-hmm. And then Michael, I actually like her now. I didn't like her at all at first. And I was like, this is a problem. Because I know she's going to be in like every scene. You know, but I really like her and how she's growing. I think that the acting is great. I haven't seen anything cheese. I haven't seen anybody right. eating up the lines or anything like that.
Except I think Klingons.
The Klingons do that naturally. I do hope that they continue. I don't care how they have to do it, but just have the Klingons speak English, because I'm done.
Right.
You know, with the Klingon, I can deal with it, but it kind of takes me out of it a little bit
because it just takes too long.
Right. It's because Klingon, and it's always been this way. They're very accurate with the Klingon. I looked it up, and people are saying, yes, that's Klingon that they're speaking. But Klingon is spoken slowly because they over enunciate everything. So it takes fucking forever. Like, I've read the sentence, and they're not even halfway through the sentence.
Right.
It's like, come on, guys.
Right. Okay, dude, take the balls out of your mouth. Let's move this along.
Has no one said Keplach yet?
Yeah,
what are we doing? What are we doing? That's a missed opportunity.
I haven't even heard today is a good day to die.
Yeah. Revenge is a dish best served cold, motherfucker. That's because Worf has to come up with all that shit.
All of a sudden you hear somebody go, we do not forgive. Oh, forget.
Oh.
Oh, shit, it's Gowron.
That was dope, dude. Gowron did that. I don't know why, but if we're doing alternate dimensions, can Gowron. We have one where it's people in the makeup from, like, the Next Generation and shit.
Oh, shit.
Like you see Gowron in there just with the big-ass fucking eyes.
The Duras sisters.
The Duras. One of them was kind of hot. I'm not going to lie.
Dude. Oh, yeah.
Gowron?
Was it Lursa?
I think it was. I think, yeah.
Because it was Lursa and Bator.
Bator. I think Bator was the weird-looking one. Gowron was legitimately terrifying-looking.
Oh, yeah. Those eyes, dude.
Like, if I met him, and he was a small dude. Like, you see him standing next to Worf, he was short. I wouldn't fuck with him.
Yeah.
Nah. Nope. I'd be like, hey.
I remember when they did an episode of Deep Space Nine, and it was, I can't remember if it was an episode where it was in, I think, like, it was in Sisko's mind or something like that, or a dream, but it was all the characters, including the Klingons, but without their makeup. And it took place in like the 50s or something like that, the 60s.
I remember seeing a clip from that episode. Yeah.
Yeah, and you saw like Gowron and Murtok and all of them.
Yeah, and it was a racism episode.
Yeah.
He was like trying to publish a book. Like he was a sci-fi writer and he was writing about Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to publish it because he was black. Yeah, because I remember that the scene from the end because What's the actor's name that plays Sisko?
Avery Brooks.
He went straight Broadway on that shit. Like, it was legit. Like, I was like, oh, fuck.
Hmm.
You know, so, you know, if you want to see some acting chops.
There you go. I thought after the first two episodes, I love Michelle Yeoh. I was really kind of disappointed that she wasn't in it for much past two episodes.
Right.
But after the first two episodes, I started liking the third one and the where it was going. And it, you know, like Stamets was rough in the first interference, but halfway through the episode, you understood what was going on. And then he just kind of became more and more likable. The storytelling got a lot better. Not every story was a hit. We did get our time loop episode, which was cool.
That was an awesome episode.
I love that. That was a great episode. But yeah, I mean, I thought as the chapter one goes, I'm still interested. I'm still invested, and I'm even though the finale didn't quite like keep me going, what the fuck? You know, it's just kind of like, huh, okay. Yeah, I was still, obviously, I'm still coming back to it. But if you're still like, oh man, that's it, now what? Hey, we still got the Orville for a couple more weeks, so, mm-hmm. You know.
Oh, here's a good question. Favorite episode from the nine that we've seen?
Favorite episode? I have to say it's a tie between the time loop, because I love time loop episodes. Anytime there's a time loop episode, I'm invested. Just because I like seeing the ship blow up. or the one where we got introduced to that creature when they went to their sister ship. And it was kind of that whole aliens kind of vibe to it, you know?
Yeah.
And when that, it's still my favorite in that episode, is where the Klingon steps out on the hallway and goes, shh.
Right.
And you're like, that motherfucker shush me?
Like, is this your boy?
Like, right. Yours?
Mine, hands down, was a time loop. Like, yeah. I just, it wasn't just because it was
Trek. It felt true.
Right. It wasn't just because it was a time loop. It was just so clever. Then you had Mud in there, and I really dug his character. And it was just so... I love how it got to the point where he had done the time loop so much that he was just walking around.
Yeah.
And everyone else had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
So they're looking at him for the first time, but he's bored. He's like, okay, guys, so we're going to do this one more time.
And then he's like, you know, Captain Lorca, I never thought I would say, I'm growing tired of killing you. so I guess that's pretty much gonna wrap up our Discovery recap, chapter one. Like we said, this will be our last recap, and we will be back when that following Wednesday after the show returns. I think it was it January 6th the show returns? Let me double check.
I don't remember. Quick.
No, January 7th, the show returns.
That's not even that. It's just a month.
A little over a month, yeah.
You know, we take the holidays off.
I don't
watch know. Some old Trek, or
right.
Catch up on our back catalog at thelazygeeks.com.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
There you go. First episode, the true part we discuss is in the Just Another Podcast, the Star Trek Paradox. We actually talk about the first two episodes, and then after that, we pick up with episode three on the Star Trek Discovery recap, and then you'll follow till this episode. As far as anything else, we've got on Friday, we've got our Cheap Seats episode 22, Wonder Woman. We'll be discussing
Gail Gadot is hot. More like Gail Gad hot. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I see what you did there. And then we'll be back next Monday with our last regular Lazy Geeks podcast episode before the Thanksgiving break. We will be taking Thanksgiving off, so we won't. We'll have a rewind set for that Monday, which is actually a really funny never previously unreleased on this stream episode, so I think you guys will enjoy that. And then after that, we will have a new Just Another Podcast, our last one of 2017. Fucking already, dude.
Yeah.
That's just unreal. Unreal.
Unreal.
Unreal.
It just got real. MTV Real World.
When people stop being nice and be real.
Start being real. Yeah. The only real world that was ever good was the first season.
Oh, fuck,
because
yeah.
It was so ridiculous. They spent half the show watching television.
Right, and then you had the New York black guy arguing with the southern girl.
Right.
You know.
And they did it in the best city.
Oh yeah.
Like, they fucked it up after that.
Yeah.
Putting challenges in it. Ain't no one trying to watch that. What is it, Survivor? Fuck.
Thanks for tuning in.
If you like what I'm doing, you have two ways to help out. One, you can make a one-time donation to make this show self-sustaining through either PayPal, Cash App, or Venmo. Check the show notes for details and links. Or two, you can share us on social media or review us on Apple Podcasts. That will make the algorithm gods, you know, promote our show to an unsuspecting public. You can also stalk me on Facebook, facebook.com/thelazygeeks4, Instagram, YouTube, Threads, or TikTok under @thelazygeeks, all one word. If you're old school, you can email us at thelazygeeksnetwork@gmail.com. Want to read some news, blogs, or just some of my random musings? Check out the blog at thelazygeeks4.wordpress.com. So that's it for me this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas. One to beam up.